touch that dial.
This is The Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Squid rolling on here on The Morning Shift. Tiff is off to Hawaii. Maybe that's part of the wake-up call. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Two questions for the wake-up call. Number one, Georgia or the field for the national title today? Number two, any surprises for you from the Atlanta Falcons' initial 53-man roster? I got to say, if Tiff was going to leave us, and she should be sad to leave us, I'm not sure heading to Hawaii is the worst possible thing she could be doing today. I don't know. Actually, I don't know that Hawaii would be number one on my list of places I'd like to call a college football game, because you have to call a Hawaii game for that to happen, unless it's the Aloha Bowl, which then 9 times out of 10 is probably Hawaii anyways.
Do they still have the Aloha Bowl? Or the Honolulu? They used to have the Honolulu Bowl as well. That's one of them Tech played in one year. Like 1991 Georgia Tech. I don't know. I've never been to Hawaii at all, so I would just like to go.
I haven't either. I actually have not either.
I've also never been to France or Prague or Ireland.
She's well traveled.
The other 9 places that she's been recently? But I have been to London. So
there you go.
That
I've never been to Europe. Period.
Really?
Never have. Nope.
Huh.
Never have.
How about that?
I need to expand my wings. Probably after my kids are a little bit older, I'll be able to do that. But
been Jamaica?
It's not the thing.
I've never been out of the country, but that's going to change next week.
Where are you heading?
What?
Going to Brazil. Simone and I are going to the Eagles and Packers game.
Of course you are.
Hold on a second.
Don't start, Bo.
No, I don't even feel bad for you, because you just did that to yourself, bro. I can't even take up for you.
It was part of the conversation.
No, hold on. As some of you don't know, Dylan is...
Don't say it.
Let me finish. Dylan is one of the most important people on the radio broadcast that we have for the Atlanta Falcons. He is our network producer, so he is the one person that has, it's him and I do a lot of work together extensively during a game to make sure we don't go off the rails.
I'll be back for Sunday, by the way. Just want to throw that in there. I will be back.
So
I'm not going to miss week one.
So you're going to go see a Friday game in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Brazil.
And then jump on a...
Red eye.
9-hour
international flight.
10-hour flight.
I respect the game.
To come back.
Yeah. I'm like you. I'm dedicated to the game, man. I can't miss week one.
I tell you what you're dedicated to. Your favorite team, the Eagles.
Not my favorite team.
I was going to, dude. Look, I can't protect you.
I'm a Falcons fan.
I can't protect you there, man. You did that to yourself.
What colors you be wearing come Friday night, Dylan?
Don't be
the game. I'm going to be neutral. I'm not wearing Eagle stuff.
Dylan.
Don't
be caught in the Eagle stuff now.
Make sure Garrett's microphone's on.
Gotta learn a lesson.
Garrett, before we get to wake-up call, because my wake-up call is now going to Dylan Matthews, who has outed himself ridiculously. What is – if I said life or death, will Dylan be wearing Eagles attire next Friday night in Brazil?
Sao Paulo? Yeah.
Well, what would you say?
He will at least be wearing some shade of green. Even if it may not be like a Devonta Smith jersey or something like that, but it'll be a shade of green.
Well, I think he's got the Jalen Hurts one. So
He's got his beanie. No. I mean, he's got a beanie. He's got a jersey. He's got the gloves that he'll wear. He'll be ready to go.
It's not gonna be cold in Brazil this time of the year, is it? I don't think it's cold. Is it ever cold in Brazil?
It's wintertime down there. So. It's wintertime in the summer.
Hey, let's get to the lines really quick before we have to keep addressing this. I'm gonna save Dylan right here. Let's go to our buddy Drew in Marietta. Drew, what's up, man? Good morning to you.
Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing?
Hey, man, can't complain.
All right, so for your first question, if I'm betting, I mean, it's kind of hard to take Georgia simply because there's so many other players out there.
Right.
But
Vegas,
as a Georgia fan,
field,
I'm taking
right?
Georgia because, yeah, the field, right. But, I mean, I've got to roll with Georgia. They're the best team on paper, and I think they've got the best coach. So I'm rolling with Georgia all the way.
All right, fair enough.
And then one person I was surprised to see cut was Natron Brooks, actually.
Yeah, dude.
I think it's possible we see him on the practice squad, but he showed out at camp. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody picked him up.
Dude, couldn't be in agreement more, Drew.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
And this is second. Yeah, by the way, real quick, the weather next week.
Yeah.
High 80s, except for on game day. And then on Friday, the high will be 75. So Dylan might have to bring out his, maybe his Eagles beanie or maybe his Eagles pullover he's got. There's, you know.
I mean, dude, I can't help you. I don't know why you're shaking your head. There's nothing I can do. You set yourself up for this.
I mean, I expected it. I'm not going to lie. I just wanted to add to the conversation. But, you know, I expect to come with territory. Look, I'll post a picture out there showing exactly what I'm in and my fit for the day, and there will be no shade of green.
Let me get Simone's Venmo so I can slide her a 20 to get an action shot.
Let me tell you something. No, you will have to because Simone will post on her social media him and the Eagles
He'll
gear.
Say, don't post that picture of me. I'm going to be like, here's 20. Let me get that thing.
Yeah. She'll be like, I don't care what Bo says.
I won't get set up like that again.
Yeah, you won't get stung. We do have our buddy Cody weighing in on Twitter right now. I said, give me Georgia. And the only surprise for him about the 53 was Taylor Heinicke thought he would be cut to save the $2.5 million. I don't think you're saving $2.5 million. I think it's somewhere more in the ballpark of $1.5 million. I think the dead cap money is like 3.25, something like that. Because I think he's making 4.5 under the restructured deal that they did back in April. So I think,
I think it's 1.2 million.
I think you'd be saving the 1.2 towards the cap. So it's not the 2.5. I think it's half of that, Cody. But I'm with you, man. I thought the Taylor Heinicke, even though it is only, you know, 1.5 or whatever, somewhere south of there, I just thought roster spot wise. Because to Drew from Marietta's point, Natron Brooks seems like a guy to me that would not squeeze through to the P squad. Now, those things will start to come out here over the next couple of days as those practice squad rosters are kind of finalized. Who's moving where? You know, when you cut a guy here, where do they wind up? But I thought that Natron Brooks would be on the roster, and I didn't think Taylor Heinicke would, to be honest with you. I thought we would see him moved much in the way that, Malik Willis was, where he's shot for a seventh-round pick.
You're only saving $1.2 million.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It's restructured back in April. It's 3.3 in dead cap space. He's making four and a half this year.
Yeah, it's not this. I don't know why this. I've never understood why people they think you're the guarantee when you restructure stuff. It makes it a lot harder to get rid of. That's why I remember in July. Before training camp started, I told you straight up, I thought he would be on the roster because I didn't think it made sense because of the money you're saving. It's not as good as you think. But then the way the training camp played out and with so many players that were vying for spots that I thought played well and how deep you could be at certain positions, I thought it made sense to move on. And now it's just...
Dylan just texted me our next caller, and I'm a little bit taken aback. By what's going on here.
Are we in a guard shack?
No. Well, here's the thing. This is, I think, somebody we're used to talking to, but there's a different name on here.
Did Squid Shady decide to change his name?
I have a Mike Shady.
Wow.
Shady. I guess we can't speak freely
about how players play on the field. Mr. Mike Shady,
welcome to the show. Good morning to you, Mr. Mike Shady.
Good morning, Mr. Mafia. All American.
Whip, whip, whip!
I will say good morning, Elder.
There you go. Look.
Go ahead. Say hello to him. No, we don't recognize it. Yay, man. You turn your back on me. I can't do it. Don't turn your back on me.
It's salty in here.
So just know, Bo, that I saw you in Kroger a couple of days ago and I did not speak to you.
Oh no. Period. You didn't want to. Oh no.
Anyway, listen.
Well, I wouldn't have spoke back if you did.
yesterday you said I was a good person.
Yeah.
Thought that until you turned your back on me. Turncoat.
You've met my father.
I love your father. I can't say the same about you anymore.
Oh no.
this gets worse and worse.
He is my father is definitely Squid Nation. All right, you guys are awesome, and I was trying to be funny, but I will tell you something, Bo. I haven't said this before. I'm a Miami Hurricane.
That's okay. It's even spicier.
Hey, Shady, I'll tell you this. In the nation, we let you make your own choices like that, and I'm okay with
well,
it.
That's all right.
But it's going to be a big week for us.
I will be honest. We are not back. And we were not back last year. We were not back the year before. We were not back. But I love my Canes. Let's see what goes on with the Gators. Hey, I love all y'all. It's a better show when Tiff's on, so I'm sad she's gone. Y'all have a wonderful day, and go go take care of people, man. This world's a mess. We'll see y'all.
Appreciate you, Shady. Good luck this weekend,
thanks,
my friend.
Good call. Welcome to the Mafia, man. Happy to have you
here. He won't be there long. His dad will have a word with him.
I'll turn my back on
him. His dad's a great dude. Very nice. They're actually both very nice people.
We got to go to break. Look, on the other side of the break, if you've seen these headlines the last couple of weeks, excerpt from new book, Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin's relationship and the inside workings of college football in the NIL era. Well, that book was written by a guy named John Talty, and he's going to join us on the other side. I got a million questions for Mr. John Talty on the other side of the break. It's the morning shift rolling on. Mike and Squid hanging out with you. Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Getting your day started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift rolling on. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. The price, what it takes to win in college football's era of chaos. That was written by Armin Katayan and our friend on the phone right now, Mr. John Talty. And John, I want to start with this. When you start writing a book, because I believe this is a couple now for you, when you start writing a book, do you know exactly what it's going to be about and what the title will be? Or is this something that as you kind of go, it kind of, it's got its turns and kind of takes shape as you get into it a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a combination of the two. I think that we like the name The Price, I think from the get-go, in part because it's a little bit of a play on the money that's, really infiltrated the sport, whether NIL, but also TV money. But we also, just early on, we kind of knew that coaches were really going through it, especially the last couple of years. And that, it was a bit of a nod to the price that those guys are paying to try to survive in this era, whether that's the insane recruiting hours, dealing with NIL demands, whatever it might be. So that we kind of knew. But a lot of the other stuff was really evolving and going with kind of what was happening. We knew early on that we wanted to focus on a couple top programs and coaches, but where that journey was going to take us, I don't think we could have ever known. And just the way that things changed in the year and a half or so that Armin and I worked on this book, from some of the stuff that we thought was a big deal in the beginning to by the end of the book felt, almost small and cute. And so we had to be willing to adapt and evolve along the way to, whether it's the lawsuits that popped up or just some of the, interesting kind of changes to college football that we've seen in the last couple of years.
John, what was the most interesting thing that, or maybe surprising thing that you learned about how these programs that you and Armin followed, how they were handling the new NIL rules and legislation and just the way the game was going?
I think to me, part of it is just how different all of them are, right? I think that there were a lot of different strategies by top programs. And I think some of it, to this point has been about comfort level and, what you're willing to do and not willing to do. And I think we saw that, early on, and when NIL really cranked up, was you saw some programs like Miami and Texas A&M and Tennessee that were very aggressive right off the bat. There were others like, say, in Alabama, Georgia, that were a bit more cautious and wanted to kind of learn a little bit about how it was going to impact their locker room and their culture before they went all in with NIL. And so, some of the programs that we focused on, Alabama, Michigan, Texas A&M, Maryland, all of them had different strategies. All of them also had different levels of finance available to them to do their NIL, which probably, forced some different changes in strategy too. But I think it was just kind of interesting, the different ways that you could have success, but do it very differently. And that's, been one of the unique, I think, things that have come out of NIL and transfer portal and all those other things.
Hanging out with John Talty from CBS Sports. The book came out yesterday, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. John, one of the interesting stories, and I'm a Bama guy, man. Look, one of the interesting stories is the story of Tua Tagovailoa and Talia and how Tua says, hey, man, we're a Bama family. You're not going to go to Auburn. I don't care how much money they offer you. Take us inside that conversation and what you heard about it and how much of it was joking and how much of it was serious. And look, did Talia say, all right, well, that's fine. You owe me, $1.5 million at this point.
Yeah, I think Tua deserves, like, I mean, maybe he already deserves a statue, but I think he deserves, you know, a little something extra for, you know, keeping him at Maryland and not letting him go to Auburn. You know, from my, everything that I've been told and talked to people directly involved in that, like, it was serious. And I think part of it was because, you know, from everything I was told, you know, Tua did not want to leave Maryland. He's been very happy. He was very happy at Maryland, was comfortable at Maryland. I think it was a good place for him to, you know, get out of his brother's shadow and, you know, be able to grow as a person. But, you know, this is part of the uniqueness of this current world where, you know, you can have a big offer elsewhere and, you know, maybe that could mean a great deal to your family. And that was, I think, part of the situation with Tua there. And so, you know, Maryland's just trying to do everything they can to keep the kid. You know, Mike Locksley tells me the story of Tua coming into his office and just be like, "Coach, is there anything you can do for me? Like, I've got this huge offer. I'm kind of getting pressure to take it. Is there any way you can get me some more money that I can stay here?" And he was really going through it. And it was, you know, I think a real human moment of him struggling with what to do. And, you know, eventually, you know, Mike Locksley, who coached Tua at Alabama, as you know, was like, "All right, I think I need to bring in the big guns here. I need to bring in Tua." And, you know, whether Tua chipped in any money, you know, heard some different things there. I'm not quite sure on that one, but I think he had a heart-to-heart conversation with his brother. And, you know, I think it's like, hey, there's a legacy here. And, you know, you going to Auburn for 1 year, you know, is that really worth it? Is not, you know, that's not really who we are. And the kind of the famous line that you mentioned is, you know, we're an Alabama family. And, you know, they have an incredible legacy in the state of Alabama. And I think he realized that, you know, his little brother going to Auburn for 1 year in which they probably weren't going to be that great anyway, it was not really worth it, even if it was a substantial amount of money that they were offering.
Well, one guy that's kind of been in the middle of college football for the last few years is what some would call super agent Jimmy Sexton. And I thought it was interesting stuff. He's obviously friends with Nick Saban and had some stuff to say about Saban. But the one about Lane Kiffin is kind of had ripples everywhere. Talk about what Sexton told you guys that Saban said to him about Lane Kiffin and hiring him.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Sexton, to me, the way I've kind of described him is he's like the Wizard of Oz, except he actually has the power. And he's just this guy who likes to be in the shadows, who, you know, doesn't like to really be very front-facing, very hard, you know, to pin down. He's kind of just in the shadows. And, you know, we got lucky that, you know, my co-author, Armin Katayan, you know, used to be a 60 Minutes correspondent. And he was actually working on a 60 Minutes profile on Jimmy Sexton around the time of, you know, when Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin were together at Alabama. And so he had this kind of treasure trove of stuff that had never been, you know, seen or published anywhere that he was never going to use if he and I didn't do this book together. But, you know, he was there for one of the ones where, you know, Lane calls Jimmy Sexton and I think it's 2015 where Alabama is about to win a national championship and he sees head coaching jobs starting to open up and he calls Jimmy and tells him to, you know, try to get him in the mix. And, you know, Armin was there to witness Jimmy just screaming at Lane Kiffin on the phone and using some words we can't say on radio here. And in part telling him, like, go win the game. Winning coaches get jobs. Losing coaches don't. Like, stop worrying about other jobs and just go and win the game. And so that was a fun moment for us. And I think, you know, why we wanted to put some of that stuff in the book is just to show what Jimmy Sexton has to deal with, right? You know, here you have Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban, two of his most prominent clients, and he's got to protect both of their interests, right? And their interests at times were not aligned. And it's just a very challenging thing to go through, but Jimmy's the best at handling those situations. And I think for fans of college football, the chapter on Jimmy Sexton will be enlightening, and I think it will also make you just appreciate just how good this guy is at his job.
Yeah, the book was out yesterday, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. John, look, man, congratulations on the book. It's a fascinating read, according to a bunch of people. I saw you pour a glass of Pappy last night. Man, hopefully, look, maybe sometime we can share one of those together. You can let me borrow one.
Listen, I'd love to. It's funny, I haven't – I've only drank that – you know, it's the first time I've drank it in 2 years. The last time I drank it was for the last book I wrote. So, you know, maybe I need to write another book, but I also, for you, I'd be willing to tap into it a little bit earlier. So you let me know.
My man, that's nice. John Talty, man. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, awesome. You can follow him at Jay Talty on the X, man. He's CBS Sports and 247 Fascinating stuff, man. That's there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, Jimmy Sexton and with Saban and Kiffin is kind of like a parent, keeping them in line. But the reality is I think John touched on it. He's like the Wizard of Oz, but with the power. He is. Because he has been a big part of the landscape of college football the last 20, 30 years.
It never more apparent than when Kalen DeBoer was being lured, and every single coach in the Southeast is getting an extension, and they're all represented by Jimmy Sexton. All right, coming up next, Morning Shift rolls on. It's Mike and Bo, and on the other side of the break, it'll be steak. We're going to have some steak tips. We're going to talk about this Atlanta Falcons schedule, these first 9 games, which ones pique your interest and which ones don't. Steak tips coming up on the other side. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
It's more than just sports talk. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm in. Me too. On Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Mike and Bo. We'll get the steak tips here in a minute. Call into the show now at 404-726-0929 for a chance to win a pair of tickets to Atlanta United's home match against Nashville on Saturday, September 14th in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Caller number 9 will be the winner. Tickets on sale now at atlutd.com. So get that hooked up. Man, it feels like forever since Atlanta United's played an MLS game, especially at home. I think it's the first home match. It'll end up being like 6 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, man. So call in now to get that hooked up so you can be in person for that game. The Braves last night, Bo, continue to roll on. We had the conversation earlier today. What's more likely, the Braves making a World Series run or the Falcons making a Super Bowl run? You're not on board with the Braves making a run. It sounds like you kind of jumped off the ship there.
No, that's not what I said. I just said more likely.
Well, you mischaracterized everything I said, so I get to do it now.
I said.
Yeah, you know you did, hypocrite.
That was in the moment of me trying to win a game, and I won it, by the way.
It's garbage. Dang.
Look, I think what the Braves are doing is wild, and they deserve as much criticism as we've given them this year, rightfully so. You know, they have been fairly treated by me, anyways.
I don't know. I don't feel like I've been critical of any person. I think I'm just critical of their chances with the roster they have right now.
Like I said, they have been fairly treated by me.
Me.
And that said, this is probably, to me, this might be the best stretch that they've had all season. And I know they started off April really hot, because they weren't injured then yet, but for the most part, just without Strider. But you look at what you get night in and night out from your starters between Fried, Cell, Lopez, Schwellenbach, and Morton, and it's been enough to win you to keep you in ball games with an offense that is less than stellar these days. But they've gone out and they've scored, 18 runs in their first 2 games this series? Now they've allowed 10. So they've needed them, but and I say that the bullpen's been a little shaky this series, but starting pitching has not been bad at all. Fried gave up 1 earned run, and then you look at Schwellenbach gave up none, and defense has been shaky a little bit at times, but they have won 8 of 10, and they have won 5 straight series. And those series date back to they go from the Giants, Angels, Phils, Nats, and now the Twins, and they have a 3rd game tonight. The Giants, when they played them, were over 500. I'm not sure where they're at now. I'd have to check. I think they're like a game above right now. The Phillies, obviously, are one of the better teams in baseball this year, and the Twins. So 3 of those teams are teams with winning records. The Twins have the same record you do. It's just interesting where you're at and what you've had to overcome, and everything is still completely in front of you.
Yeah, Chris Sale going tonight for the Atlanta Braves, and why that is worth a small note is because he will not be going against the Phillies. You got Chris Sale tonight. Then Charlie Morton, Ronald Lopez, Max Fried, and Spencer Schwellenbach going against the Phillies for this coming up series, which it has massive implications. There's no two ways about that. This Phillies series, you need to go in and see if you can take 3 or 4.
I wonder if there's any thought about making a move, or if there's a chance they can make a move to bring a guy up like an Ian Anderson up right before, I think the 31st is when you got to have him up, to bring him up to start, to push everyone back a game to start for that Philly series. And since you've already taken the Twin series, I think every game is too important to do that, But I wonder if that thought has crossed the mind, because the guy you're going against tonight for the Twins is David Fess. I mean, the guy's got his ERA's over five. He's only pitched 36 in the third inning. So to me, that might be a thought. I just wonder if that's anything that they would think about or have thought about.
Yeah. All right. Let's hit some steak tips.
The godfather of Atlanta sports radio has now stepped in the building.
I come to me to say, give me justice, which is all aspect of respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me godfather.
It's Wednesday in the morning shift.
It's Wednesday.
And Wednesdays are reserved for steak tips.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome to Steak Shapiro.
I thought it was steak for a second. I was like, steak, why are you doing that? Well, it's not your show yet.
He is the godfather of Atlanta Sports Radio. What's up, buddy?
I mean, I have a topic, but I mean, Bo was spitting nonsense this morning that I feel like if I start down the road, we're going to lose the topic. Yeah. The top eight Falcon home
games. Let's go.
Welcome to my
life. Let's go. Let's go.
Welcome to my life.
Wait, what's your beef?
I mean,
welcome to my life.
Braves have had every injury in the world, right? And have won 8 out of 10, including beating the Phillies 2 out of 3, including beating a very good Minnesota team. Offensively, he said something today like they got to get the big hit when they need it. It's been mostly pitching. They scored 8 friggin' runs last night. Ozuna had an unbelievable night. What was the night before? How many did they score the night before?
Man, 10.
Huh?
10.
Right. So what was he talking about?
So a two-game stretch is going to wipe out everything you've seen over the last 5 months. Seriously?
What do you want to see?
Excellence.
How about two nights in a row? They've won 8 out of 10.
Two nights? Yeah, you know how you won six of those eight? You had 3-2, 3-1,
okay, that's baseball.
3-2,
that's
4-2.
Playoff baseball.
That's not the baseball
Dude,
we've come
I don't
accustomed
understand.
To in Atlanta.
Do you think this lineup was going to start putting up it's just everything they're supposed to be
Ramon
doing.
Ramon Laureano, Whit Merrifield. I guess so, man. That's what I deal with.
I've been listening. Literally,
how long have you been on the air?
I'm going to tell you what I see.
Year and a half.
Okay. He never just goes for the cheap contrarian hit, but it seemed, I mean, that seemed today.
It's more of an emotional thing, isn't it? It's like he goes for the cheap emotional contrarian.
I feel like he just decided I'm just going to take a different hit. You win 8 out of 10, your offense come to life. Marcelo Zuna's an MVP, and he's like, you're not going to see sustained offense. We're not going to get in the playoffs and score 9 runs a night. So this is exactly how we're going to win in the playoffs, exactly how we've done.
That's all fine.
And they scored 8 and 10.
That's all fine and dandy. That's a great, but the reality is the strength of your team is pitching right now.
Okay.
He's worried about the Philadelphia.
I am cautiously optimistic that I have seen this team bust out for 2-game stretch
like
this.
But they're not going to bust out.
But we just saw that. I've seen them do that and then go in a shell and score 2 runs in 3 games. We can't have that.
Baseball.
He's scared of the Phillies. That's his bottom line.
They have some guys that can pitch.
We're coming back next week. Falcons, we all agree, and I've been saying, this is the longest war stretch getting ready for day one of the Falcons.
That's
right?
So bad, dude.
We are just pretending to come up with new stuff. Yeah. Last year was like 2.5 weeks of Desmond Ridder. We saw how that turned out. Right? No, but remember 2.5 weeks, we're like, what's
going to hype ourselves
like, what's
up?
It gonna, right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got the 8 home games, and I ranked them 1 through 8. Because I believe people are going to be buying more Falcon tickets than they ever have before. They sold out their season tickets. I could not be more. I told my wife. I told the kids. I was like, we are going to more Falcon games this year than we've ever been to. Okay?
So Bobby, you excited about that?
Yeah,
excited. He's off. Yeah, of course.
We have the number 5 pick. It helps when I draft Falcon players. That's what got him into it last year in fantasy. So Bijan's not going to be around at 5 or not.
Maybe
he could be, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
It's probably a good pick.
You want to go in order of best or to worst?
Let's see what you got best
Which
first.
Which order? Okay.
Let's see what you got best
Best
first.
Game of the year in terms of excitement and hype will be September 22nd, Sunday Night Football against the defending champions, Taylor Swift very likely in the building. You're playing on Sunday night at home for the first time in forever. That's the toughest ticket of the year. You agree?
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be the best game. Toughest ticket of the year for sure. For sure, for certain.
I just said these are the best 8 games in terms of ticket. I mean,
wouldn't be my pick, but yeah, man, I'm going with you. I'm riding the
number two.
Now who's a contrarian?
Number 2, November 3rd. Anytime the Cowboys are in Atlanta, it's super drama and fun, right? Probably be a 4:30 flex game. So it's November 3rd. We very well, it's our 9th game of the year. Mm-hmm. We could be a 5-3, 6-2 team. They could be the same. We'll get flexed to 4:25.
National broadcast.
Yeah, now that one would be
that's
top
the
of
the second. Third best game is the opener, September 8th. So much intrigue and hype. Fascinating to see how the Steelers respond with that quarterback mess. We just have to put the – but seeing this team, Matthew Judon, first time to see him rush the quarterback, first time to see Kirk Cousins, right?
It's also it's always a tough ticket when they come to town anyways.
I'm excited.
So it amps it up, especially with Arthur Smith being on the sidelines.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go against Mahomes and the Cowboys, but that's a great game. The Steelers, third best. Fourth best game, September 29th, which is the week after the Chiefs game. Saints are in town. Great chance to have the Saints fans come here and get their butts whooped, and just in general the rivalry.
I'm shocked by you, man. I'm shocked by you so far. I won't be a contrarian, but yes, it's okay. That's fine. Yeah.
Fifth. You don't think that's the fourth best game?
No.
Fifth best game is the Chargers, December 1st.
There it is.
We don't know how good they're going to be, though.
We don't.
We don't. They were not a good football team last year. They're not a rival. They're an interesting AFC team, but they won't have any fans here.
Yeah, but you're a storyline guy.
Fake. You're right.
I'm
a storyline guy. How do you know there'll be a storyline December 1st against the Chargers?
All the people that said, wish we would have had Harbaugh. I wish we could have hired Harbaugh.
Not week six.
Nobody listens to
the
Mike Bell.
The sixth best game is December 22nd. We could be in a position to clinch a playoff spot. The New York Giants are coming in. Anytime the Giant fans are around, that's a fun atmosphere.
I'm curious that you have that one over a return of Dan Quinn. Just because of how unsexy the Giants
are. This is a Queen's
on the road. That's right. That's right.
So, at Washington.
I got to go to Washington this year?
Week seven. Seventh best game of the year, October 3rd. That's Tampa Bay. They're still division champs.
Yep.
So, Baker. You know, not the sexiest. And it could be an absolute dud game, or it could be win the division and clinch the 1-2 seed, whatever it is. The eighth best home game of the year, Carolina, our final game of the season. Are we final game of the season? Week 18?
Week January 18. 5th.
Yep, that's right.
Carolina at the Falcons.
Mm.
Listen, it's still one of the worst rosters in the NFL coming in, and it's also week 18, so it could be all decided. So I have it at 8th. However, if all things being equal, we could be playing for a number one seed or a number two seed or something like that.
And
so
it could be a Saturday game. It could be a Sunday night game.
Yeah, the other Saturday game could be December 22nd. No, they start playing Saturday games by week 16.
I don't know if that's a flex or not.
Yeah, they normally do. In fact, that absolutely could be flex.
All right, so anyway, best games: Chiefs, Cowboys, Steelers, Saints, Chargers, Giants, Bucks. And Carolina, get your home tickets for the Falcons.
You know what screws it all up is the college football playoff.
And the Seahawks, right.
Seahawks are in there, too.
Seahawks are in there right after the Giants.
The college football playoff screws that up with when they'll be flexing games. Because the last thing I want to do is be working
a game on a Saturday
when it's college football playoff and Georgia's playing or somebody else is playing.
What do you got coming up, Stick?
I'm flying solo today. I'm excited. Day-Day and G-Money in the house. Mark Schlabel will join us. A lot on the Tour Championship, all the changes at Eastlake. I've read like 10 articles about all the pros talking about how much they love the old Eastlake. He'll also talk some college football. Listen, we are within 2 miles of each other. Mercedes-Benz Stadium at noon, Georgia-Clemson. 8 hours later, kickoff Georgia State and Georgia Tech. Was at that practice yesterday. I'll tell you more about Del McGee and company there. Also, the Falcons roster. Is it a Super Bowl roster? Look at the last 15 Super Bowl winners. Is the Falcons roster bear any resemblance to the Chiefs and Patriots and Bucks that have won Super Bowls of late?
I'll be locked in, man. Bradley from Decatur, congratulations. You win the Atlanta United tickets. Steakhouse is coming up next. That'll do it for me and Bo. Make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.